Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hi guys, this is Brian Sippets. Welcome back to the Hockey Strength Podcast. This is episode 37, and we're going to be speaking with the athletic trainer and strength coach from the North Dakota Fighting Hawks, Mark Poolman. Of course, North Dakota just won the NCAA championship, their first in 16 years. So we're going to be talking to Coach Poolman about what he's doing with his guys and what made this a championship team. The Hockey Strength Podcast is the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. If you haven't checked in lately, right now we have nearly 900 articles, webinars, videos, and training programs, all dedicated to improving the strength, power, and health of hockey players. So definitely check it out if you're a strength and conditioning professional, hockey coach, or hockey family. We know you're going to get a lot of really useful information from the top hockey strength and conditioning coaches in the NHL, NCAA, and private facilities. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. After that first week, you're going to want to stay on board for our newest content for just $14.95 a month, or you can choose to get 2 months free by investing for the year at just $149. So take a look, there's a ton of great information that's going to help you and your players. We know you're going to love the content. Before we get started with Coach Poolman, just a quick word about the Great Lakes Clinic that wrapped up last weekend. We had an awesome turnout. I think everybody in attendance had a great experience. It was definitely a step up from last year, and we're starting to build momentum with this thing. So if you work with hockey players and you were not there this year, you're going to want to be there next year. We've got some great feedback. The social was a hit again this year. And the speakers did, you know, brought their A game for sure. They definitely had some great content for us. And again, to thank our presenters, Devin McConnell, Anthony Donskoff, Greg Roskovensky, Joe Marr, and Dave Sensor. Without those guys being willing to share, this clinic doesn't exist. So thanks so much for coming aboard, and thanks to everyone in attendance. Just so you know, we are looking at next year's clinic already. Daryl and Devin and I have already made plans, and we have a date in mind, and we've got some people in mind that we're going to ask to join us. So we are excited about next year already, and it's a year-long planning process, so we're going to get started on that right away. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started with today's guest, North Dakota trainer and head strength coach Mark Poolman. All right, we are on the phone with athletic trainer at the University of North Dakota, and Coach Poolman is just now kind of getting over the high of the recent NCAA championship with North Dakota, so congratulations to you. This is Mark Poolman, athletic trainer at University of North Dakota.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us. And I know there's a whole lot of stuff going on there. You guys are just coming off the championship. And at the same time, you've got the under 18 worlds going on there at the rink. So I appreciate you carving out some time for us.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. It's fun being this busy. It's fun having all these hockey people around and, getting after it here and starting next week with our guys. So, yeah, busy time. But that's what makes it fun, too.
That's great. Yeah, you're getting started next week. I definitely want to talk about that. But let's find out a little bit about you. Now, you're the longest tenured position on the North Dakota staff. You've been athletic trainer there for, well, how many years?
Since 1995, basically.
Okay. So you're head athletic trainer. You're also taking over the strength and conditioning responsibilities there. So you're adding not only one profession that has insane hours, but you're also adding to that another profession that has insane hours. So talk a little bit. First, let's talk a little bit. You're a North Dakota guy. You got your undergraduate and graduate degrees both at North Dakota, originally from Minnesota. But talk about your time at North Dakota and, your undergrad and graduate work.
Sure. I'd originally come to North Dakota to play football here, at that time, Division II. So I have a lot of history as far as in the weight room, lifting, as a football player. And at that time, as I was probably a junior or something like that, I ended up driving Zamboni. That was kind of the jock job I had at that time, driving Zamboni. So I got to know some of the hockey guys, got to know Coach Dean Blaze at the time. And once I graduated from UND, I moved down to Iowa and worked for 2.5 years for an orthopedic surgeon down in Iowa with the Fighting Saints. I didn't necessarily work with the team, but helping out a little bit and getting to know the doctor. Anyway, to come back here, Coach Blaze was looking for a full-time position. I came back to get my master's here and to work with the team, and kind of worked out to be a graduate assistant for 2 years, starting in 95, and just continued on from there. And being the athletic trainer, I think, has helped an awful lot as far as transitioning to the strength position. But I learned an awful lot through Paul Chapman. Paul Chapman was his strength coach here for quite a few years. He left probably... early 2000s probably for New Hampshire. I learned a lot with him, and after him, Jared Nestlin was here, and again, just the transformation, I think, from football to hockey and progression, maybe evolution of hockey players lifting more, I learned from Jared as well. So I've probably been doing strength and conditioning for about 7 or 8 years, I'm guessing. I'm getting old, I forget those type of things. So.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's a huge role that's filled mostly by a full-time, coach these days, but to split the duties, that's definitely, you got a lot on your plate. But at the same time, you also have a pretty good understanding of the body and, you know, there is no, extra communication like with the athletic training staff, when you're getting guys back into play and things like that. So that has to be a little bit of a benefit. Have you found that having that athletic training background and doing the training, you understand a little bit more about where the athlete's at in terms of recovery?
I think that is the plus side. I guess a lot of things that I do, not myself, but decisions or options that a person makes, they always have the plus things that go along with it and the negative things. And I think that's obviously a huge bonus is to know the athletes, know exactly where they're at throughout the day, throughout their injury, throughout their rehab, throughout their human performance side, and knowing, maybe having a better idea of what they need because of knowing them so well. And obviously the athletic training side of me, I think, benefits that as well. However, for me, I also see the downside, and that's 100% effort of me, 100% of my time devoted to if I need to be more in the training room, they might be lacking a little bit in the weight room. Or if I need to be in the weight room, who's taking care of them in the training room doing rehab things that they can't do at that time? So I'm lucky that we have a athletic training program here, and I have a junior and senior student that help out an awful lot in the weight room, that help out an awful lot in the training room. That I think without my student trainers, I don't know if I could do what I do unless I had another full-time or another graduate assistant helping out.
Yeah, well, it's surprising too. It's such a, you know, a program that's been high power for you know, over a decade anyway. That you're splitting the role there, but you know, it seems to be working for you. Obviously, you had a special group of guys this year that they got a championship. And talk a little bit about the training that you're doing. I know when you and I chatted before, you know, you said it's nothing groundbreaking, but I think that's sort of the key, is that it's not groundbreaking. It doesn't have to be groundbreaking to produce championships. It doesn't have to be sexy or super, super interesting or involve 9 different kinds of training, you know, PRI and, right. You know, FMS and all the other acronyms. So talk a little bit about first how you lifted as a football player in the 90s and what's different now.
Actually, that was in the 80s. I apologize. The lifting at that time was pretty much all Olympic base, whether it's the squats, the cleans, the snatches, all those different things, learning those techniques. Obviously, all the other lifts that go along with it, but it was really based on the heavier Olympic. But again, football is a different sport as far as, again, it depends on the position, but it's all about mass. And I understand hockey is about mass too, but I guess my approach might be a little bit different than putting on mass. For me, it's, you need to have similar lifts, maybe some of the same lifts, but for me, the goal might be a little bit different. It's not, for me, it's not just about mass. That'll happen because of the hard work that they put in all the other lifts, but I still have them do majority of Olympic lifts, but not at the rate, maybe not at the weight, necessarily that we used to try to put up. I remember injuries. Again, I'm not saying Olympic lifts cause injuries, but not everybody might be suited for that, especially some hockey players.
Right. Yeah. I think, we've seen a lot of training and I was, you know, I was in college and lifting in the 2000s, early 2000s. And, you know, at that time it was still very much football based. Like, you know, even in the hockey program, I went to Miami and, you know, there we had an excellent strength coach who's in the NFL now, but, it was basically a football lifting program where it was, you know, bench squat. We didn't actually deadlift. But just, you know, hang clean, hang snatch, bench squat, and some accessory stuff or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So much has changed in the last, few years here. I imagine it was pretty tough to get out of the football lifting and recognize the importance of a kind of the different kind of training that's going on now. You know, getting into some more bilateral stuff, which I imagine you are. You know, explain that and talk about how, you know, when you saw that tide start to change.
I remember when it was my first few years athletic training in the old rink, our weight room, not a very large one at the old rink, Coach Chapman was in there trying to get the guys rounded up after practice to get in there. And sad to say, I actually housed a couple guys hiding underneath my desk so they didn't have to go in there. So I don't think I ever told Paul that, but for me, probably the biggest change, because I still have them do some Olympic lifts, again, maybe monitor certain things about them, either weight or other issues like that. But for me, probably one of the bigger changes is the mentality of the hockey player, as far as from the only thing that's important is on ice, to where I think the progression over the past 20 years, as far as what I've seen, again, I may be totally off here, but the off-ice dedication for me has really increased in the past 20 years from what I remember. And that takes nothing away from the players that played way back when with our program. But the dedication, the focus on off-ice, I think has really increased the past so many years.
Yeah, I think that's a reflection of the culture and the understanding that now the training is going in, you know, well before guys are in college. I mean, any guys who are in college have been a part of a training program for several years before they've gotten to you. So I think that's they understand a little bit more that it's part of the game now, and it's not just not just go out and play. But, you know, most of these guys take the under 18, you know, the under 17, under 18 teams that Daryl works with. I mean, that's a full program, and a lot of those guys are 16 years old.
And I can tell the young men that come from the program, or I can tell the young men that have focused or have had a strength coach that has focused on the Olympic lifts. And again, not bad, but they know how to do them. I'm not as wary about them. You know, doing the low reps, the heavy weight. There's some guys right now I wouldn't have do a back squat, perform one. It's just concerning to me with their mechanics, and I can work with that. But again, for me, some of the limitations with hockey players with their hips. Again, we can work on that, but I think that's a progression that doesn't happen in a short period of time. So, again, to work on strength, I'll work on all the different Olympic lifts. I'll do back squats, front squats, goblets, single leg, bilateral. I mean, I use all of those. Again, nothing groundbreaking, but a lot of it works on, I want to work on their form without injuring them. That's anybody's goal in the weight room is to work as hard as they can without injury. But you can definitely tell the people, the young men that come in here that have a background and a knowledge of body awareness and mechanics.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the report across the board in terms of, you know, the people that we've talked to and everything. Anybody that anybody that comes from the national program is going to be a solid lifter, and is you can almost tell it's a style that Daryl has him doing. So he does an awesome job with them, and I'm really fortunate to be around him so much. He's an awesome coach. So would it be fair to say, I guess what I'm picking up is, you know, you kind of squat for the skill and, you know, being able to do those foundational movement patterns. But maybe with a lot of guys, you're getting your strength training, your stimulus somewhere else.
My overall might be right or wrong. Again, for a strength coach, it might be wrong, but I focus more so on explosive movements with resistance rather than, again, mass. Even though you need both, I understand that. But working on the weakest link type of mentality. And then over that time, working on their form so that they can go heavier.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's pretty consistent across the board, too. So you mentioned, you know, you have some guys that are going to be doing different variations and that kind of thing. Talk us through a little bit of, you know, what a team session is like for you. Where do you guys start? Are you starting with tissue care? Are you doing, you know, what does a basic day look like for you? Let's say coming up here in the next couple weeks as you get going again.
As we get going, and yeah, it'll be more about slowly getting into it again. Our guys have had 2 weeks off here. As every team is, there's probably a third of the guys that, or half, or maybe even more, that may have to have some alternative type of lifting, some alternative type of preventative, some prehab things. And again, trying to make it as individual as possible. Again, it's a normal type of routine. We get warmed up. We'll go through some prehab exercises using a med ball or rotational, setting the core. Hop into more of an active stretch. We'll foam roll before some of that. Get into a little agility things. Do hip mobility with hurdles, and then slowly get into. And again, it depends on where we're at. Our team is at injury wise. In the past, I've went through station work to get them into it quicker and more of that mentality, because I only have them for a week. With NCAA rules, I can't have them the week of finals or the week before finals.
Oh, wow.
So I have them for a week to, again, it's pretty hard to prep them for the summer. It's more recovery issues.
Yeah.
So I'll start them higher reps, just getting the range of motion. Nothing too strenuous, just to get them back into it again.
Yeah, that's, I forgot about that little issue there. You're so, you know, when you're done, you're so close to finals, that, yeah, you're only going to have that limited amount of time. So then will the team come back this summer, a majority of them, and take classes? I'm not actually sure what the rule is now. They have to be enrolled in classes, right, if they're back on campus?
I believe so. That's what was last year. But again, I've heard other rumors that they may not anymore. But right now, yeah, they're coming back. So the progression right now is I'll have them for a week starting next week. And again, that'll be very low key, but at least getting them back into the lifting routine. I would say maybe a half dozen of them, maybe more, have been in here in the last week, just starting to get in the weight room again, just because they feel better doing it. Mm-hmm. Some guys have not touched. Have not been in the building necessarily to do anything in the weight room. So I'll have them for that week, and then I won't have them for the following 2 weeks, but I'll have things for them to do as far as coming in and working on, again, whether it's rehab, which I can work with them with rehab, but as far as strength and conditioning necessarily, I'll have workouts for them to do on their own time when they can come in for the following 2 weeks. And then our summer program starts up May 16th, I think it is, right after finals are done. And we're lucky enough, we have probably six or eight local guys that are on our team.
Hmm.
So they'll be coming here daily, 4 to 5 times a week, starting at that point in time. There'll be other guys that are taking summer classes here. Excuse me. So I would guess on average, the entire summer we'll have maybe 8 to 10 guys here to work out as a group, skate on their own if ice is available. But as far as the meat and potatoes of the season or of the off season, we'll have 6 weeks in the summer, starting beginning of June, I believe, to where we try to get everybody in here. It's not mandatory. It's trying to get as many guys as you can. They can take credits, work out with the guys, skate with the guys in the evening, get to know the professors, get to know the teammates, get to know the whole feel of Grand Forks, of the university. I think it's a huge benefit for especially the freshmen to come in to do that, to get the feel so that I can work with them, get to know what issues they might have physically so that, again, start the earlier I can start more individualized workouts, the better off they'll be. So, again, I think it's a huge advantage for the young guys and everybody to get in here for those 6 weeks. And then mid-July, then they all disperse and head home, do their own thing, get prepared for coming in late August.
Yeah, that's 6 weeks in the summer, although it's not that long. And even if they're taking classes, it seems to be just lower pressure. And we started doing that maybe my last 2 years. But, yeah, definitely lower pressure for some reason, even though the classes, if you're taking a class, is somewhat condensed. But, right. Yeah, and it's a nice time to have the guys, too. You know, they're coming in a little bit more fresh, and you can get some work done.
Also, the best for me, the best part of that is the progression for the hips and the lower back growing and everything. Because when they're here in the summer, that's pretty low key as far as the intensity and duration on the ice. Again, because they'll skate probably 3 to 4 times a week, and the intensity and duration for June and July is pretty laid back. It's just nice, easy shinny. They have some fun, mm-hmm. but at least they're out there. They're actually doing the sport specific. They're actually doing their sport as they're working out, so that's beneficial. And then they know the level when they come in August, because most of the guys have ice where they're going once they leave here. So they'll stay, they'll keep their hips, lower back, lower abs, everything in skating condition to a certain degree. And then when they come in August, captain's practices where they're on the ice, the intensity and duration kind of ramps up a little bit. After, I think, 3 weeks probably, once school starts, then the coaches can go on the ice twice a week, or basically an hour, I think it is, an hour or two. I think it's 2 hours, actually. So then when the coaches are on the ice, the intensity absolutely increases. And then when the coaches go on the ice full-time, the duration and intensity increases, then they're ready for a game. So I really look at injury prevention as far as the hips and the lower back starts in June, to where the guys are getting back into shape, getting back into skating stride, and using those muscles that we're trying to get stronger.
Yeah, and you know, you have a unique view on that because it's, you know, you are an athletic trainer first. What kind of things are you doing, like the athletic trainer side of you? What side, or what are you guys doing to, you know, you've mentioned hips, you've mentioned low back. So what are the particular things that you're doing to sort of safeguard your players as an athletic trainer who is a strength coach?
I think not a whole lot different than most strength coaches as far as really focusing on the core. With most lifts, try to incorporate, making sure the core is in proper, so it's set properly for whatever activity they're doing. I try to do most things to where it mimics some sort of activity they're going to be doing on the ice, whether it's a deceleration or hooking bands or a Vertimax band or Kaiser bands around the ankle or around the foot, to where you, if you're hooking the band around the foot and you mimic a skating stride, that's different than hooking around your ankle because you have the external rotation.
Right.
So if you're externally rotating all the way back, you're internally rotating coming forward, mimics the stride a little bit more. So I actually do that majority of the year other than in season. Rather than just doing hip flexion exercises, I try to incorporate the external rotation in a lot of things we do. And again, probably the focus I really work on is having a core activity rather than just doing a normal bench press. I'll have to do a single arm on a stability ball, again incorporating the core, making sure that the glutes are fired, making sure the lower abs are fired, and getting the core involved doing a single dumbbell.
Perfect. Yeah, so you're more worried about the coordination there than anything else. That's
right. I'd rather work from the belly button out on all the different things that we're doing. That's kind of an idea I guess I have.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like that. Well, Mark, thanks so much for taking time with us today, and congratulations to you and the team on the NCAA championship. It's been kind of a long time coming for you guys. It's been several years, and you've been close a couple times. But yeah, congratulations to you, and thanks for joining me, and good luck this spring with the guys.
Thanks, Brian. Much appreciated. Take care of yourself.
Well, guys, that does it for the 37th episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks to Mark Poolman for joining us. I think it's great to see big-time success in a program that stresses excellence in the basics. Sometimes we can get carried away with all the newest information, but really it's the attention to basics that can win a team a championship, so that's great to see. Guys, if you could, please get on Twitter and follow us at joinus@HSC. We just got it started and we want to make sure you know about it. We're also on Facebook. We share a lot of information on social media that doesn't make the site. So check us out there for more great content about training your hockey players. Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's best resource for training hockey players. Take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.